Good morning. I'm Linda Perry with WBAI News. Bundle up this morning. Frigid cold has arrived once again to our listening area. The National Weather Service says temperatures will be hovering around the low 20s and going into the teens this evening. The cold trend is expected to last through the weekend. In international news, the Ukraine's newly formed government is pledging to keep the country from breaking up, and it has strong backing from the West. But a potentially dangerous confrontation with Russia is taking place. Russia's given shelter to Ukraine's fugitive president, Viktor Yanukovych, who's said to be holed up in a luxury government retreat in advance of a news conference today. He fled Ukraine's capital last weekend after 3 months of protests turned deadly. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says 20 years after the Rwanda genocide, the international community's failure to prevent atrocities in Syria is a shameful indictment. The UN chief also pointed to grave and blatant human rights violations in the Central African Republic, civilians threatened in many regions, and worrying trends such as rising bias against migrants, Muslims, Roma, and other minorities in Europe and elsewhere. Ban spoke at a series of events to mark the 20th anniversary of the Rwanda genocide, which began hours after a plane carrying the president was mysteriously shot down as it approached the capital, Kigali, on April 6, 1994. The Secretary General called the genocide an epic failure of the international community and said lessons learned must be implemented. Better late than never, that's what many are saying about Barack Obama's speech at the White House yesterday about young men of color. He announced a new initiative called My Brother's Keeper.
While there may not be much of an appetite in Congress for sweeping new programs or major new initiatives right now, we all know we can't wait. And so the good news is, folks in the private sector who know how important boosting the achievement of young men of color is to this country, they are ready to step up. Today, I'm pleased to announce that some of the most forward-looking foundations in America are looking to invest at least $200 million over the next 5 years, on top of the $150 million that they've already invested, to test which strategies are working for our kids and expand them in cities across the country.
Under Obama's initiative, businesses, foundations, and community groups would coordinate their investments to develop and support programs that keep youth in school and out of the criminal justice system, while improving their access to higher education. White House advisor Valerie Jarrett says the President and First Lady Michelle Obama see the effort as a moral responsibility that they plan to pursue for the rest of their lives. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio's administration is moving to block charter schools from using space inside public buildings. Schools Chancellor Carmen Farina made the announcement on Thursday. De Blasio has long sought to curb the influence of charter schools in the city. He was critical of the decision of his predecessor, Mike Bloomberg, to give the charter schools free rent in the city-owned buildings. He said Thursday he believes the co-location approval was rushed in the final days of the Bloomberg administration. The schools were to open in the fall. They'd already hired teachers and were admitting students. Their supporters condemned de Blasio's decision. Charter schools only serve 5% of the city's public school children.
And we're going to be stressing from now on what is called seven steps to positive community interactions.
There are changes afoot in NYPD protocol. Mayor Bill de Blasio and NYPD Commissioner Bill Bratton attended a roll call at the 25th Precinct in East Harlem. In an effort to dial back tensions between the NYPD and the communities they police, they announced changes to the Police Academy curriculum.
The seven steps are things that a lot of officers already know instinctively and practice every day, but we want to make it the norm. We want everyone to know this is the right approach. I'm just going to go over them very quickly with you. Step one is whenever possible, whenever it makes sense, the officer politely introduces himself and provides name and rank. Step two is to actively listen and attentively listen to the people they're encountering. Step three is to keep an open mind about the information they're receiving. Step four is to be patient with the people they are serving. Again, we're talking about every kind of circumstance. And we know there's a difference between an urgent and an emergency circumstance and an everyday encounter. But we believe it's so important for our officers to have the opportunity to hear deeply what people are telling them, including if they happen to come from a different background, different culture, have a different first language. Step five is to know the resources the NYPD and other agencies that would be available to help people with their problems. Step six is to make every reasonable effort to address the needs of the people who have asked for help. And step seven is to make sure every encounter, whenever possible, ends on a positive note so people know that they have been served with that respect.
The new protocol is aimed at repairing the rift between the police and the community caused by the practice of stop and frisk and by compelling the NYPD to fulfill quotas, which will no longer be the case. The changes, according to the mayor and the police commissioner, are to foster new and deeper trust between the police and communities, just what those who rallied for police reform were after when Bloomberg was mayor. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.